Welcome, welcome, welcome to Reaching New Heights with Troy Bell, the city manager, city of Muskegon Heights, where you get to know what you need to know so you'll be in the know. So thank you for joining us in the 2 o'clock time frame every Wednesday. And I'm always excited to get back in touch and share what's going on in Muskegon Heights, a wonderful city of Muskegon Heights. And today I am joined by some special guests. You've seen some before, some you have not seen before. We have with us Ms. Phyllis Laudermill. Say hello, Phyllis.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, and you've been here a couple of times before, right?
It's been a long time coming, but we're here.
Yes, yes, yes. So we got some exciting things to cover. And accompanying Ms. Laudermill is Mr. Montrell. You say hello, Mr. Hello, Montrell, doctor. Yeah, you got to speak into the mic, though.
Hello, everyone.
All right. So, and then we also are welcoming to the show, if I get this right, we have Mr. James Locke. How you doing, Mr. Locke? A pleasure to have you on. I'm sorry, say again.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Excellent, excellent. And we have on the line with us Mr. Cliff McLean. Say hello, Mr. McLean.
Hello, city of Muskegon Heights.
All right. So we got a full house today. So we're excited to welcome everybody to the show today because we want to talk about new houses at Muskegon Heights. So as Ms. Laudermill said, it's been a long time coming, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we are that close to kicking off the first new house built in Muskegon Heights since 2014, I think, was the HUD houses. That's been 8 years now.
Yes.
But that was only two or three. And the first real development since 2004. So about 18 years, right? So, Ms. Laudermill, you, if I remember correctly, you were involved with the houses on some level that were built in 2004 or finished in 2004.
Yes, Watson Construction at that time we were.
Mm-hmm.
So we were so excited just to get to this point. In the rain today, looking for products for excavating. And so we're excited. And we brought along with us our first homeowner who would get his first certificate, which is Mr. Montrell Dockery and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to let them talk about some things. And I welcome my other team. We have Cliff McLean on the other side. Hi, Cliff. Good to hear from you. See you next week. Time to get to work. And I have a longtime mentor and dad.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Locke, who is coming on as Locke Enterprise with us, bringing us not only finances, but a lot of wisdom. So we have a great team.
Beautiful, beautiful. I'm glad that you're bringing the whole team together. And there's been a lot of anticipation. It makes me think about the ketchup commercial. Some of y'all too young to remember about the tech ketchup commercial. Anticipation,
yeah.
Making you wait. So originally we thought it was going to be in May, and then it was June and July, and now here we are in August. So some of my listeners who have joined the show have been asking and have been putting messages up. When is it going to happen? When is it? We keep saying it's going to happen. You keep telling us it's going to happen, but we don't see it happening yet. And so I want to ask you, when is it going to happen?
Well, next week, actually. We actually start clearing the land.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll let Montrell talk about their journey.
Okay.
And it may explain some of the things, like why so long,
mm-hmm.
and even as a developer, and then I'll jump in after that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Phyllis, and thank you, Troy, as well, yeah, for having me on the show.
Absolutely.
First, I'd just like to say I like to thank God just for even being in this position to even be on this journey
mm-hmm.
and in this house building process. My wife and just everybody, you, Troy, Phyllis, you guys have been on board with me since day one as we went through this process. It's exciting. I can't say it any better than you guys have. It has been a long time. I'm a product of not only the county of Muskegon, but mm-hmm. specifically Muskegon Heights, being a Muskegon Heights alum, growing up in this community.
So you're a Tiger then?
Yeah, by trade, by heart. So I'm really excited. My wife is excited. Our kids are excited, our family. And I don't want to make it all about us because I really want this to be like a light into the community. Because I know there's a lot of young people around my age, and just a message for anybody who's inspiring to do something like this. This will be first-time homeowners, and not only first-time homeowners, we'll be in a new construction as first-time homeowners. So very seldom do you get the opportunity. So we're just really thankful. It's been a long process from the time we purchased the lots to getting them joined, to floor plans, to site plans, to everything. I've learned a lot through this process. I feel like I can do everything except for build the house, but I've learned everything from A to Z.
It's a journey.
Absolutely,
it's a journey.
Absolutely. So I thank you all. We're real excited. And so, again, just thanks for having me on
the show. So for some of our listeners that aren't aware or familiar, Mr. Dockery was one of the first people to purchase a lot on the vacant lot program. And so when we introduced this in 2020, council approved the expedited process by which you could purchase a vacant lot. You could purchase a vacant lot at that time for $100. You had to prepay the taxes for 3 years. You had to commit to build a new house within 3 years, and it had to be for home ownership. And so that program was approved by council so that we would have an expedited process that if you agreed to all these terms, that instead of going through the normal process, you could sign the agreement, put your cashier's check in, and go straight to council for approval. And so it is wonderful to see one of the first in this process now at the precipice of getting a home ownership home built. Brand new home in Muskegon Heights. And so for some of our listeners that might not know you, and I know being a Tiger, there's probably a lot of folks out there that know you. Class of?
2005.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
I say that proudly.
Yeah. And what's your profession? What are you?
I work for Muskegon Public Schools. I wear a few different hats. I'm an administrator with the district. I serve as our middle school athletic director, and I'm also a dean of students at the high school. And I coach football as well. Muskegon Public Schools has been great to me and my family. My wife also is administrator in the district, and all of our kids attend the district as well. So
nice. Yeah. Did you play some ball?
Yeah. I played high school ball at Muskegon Heights. I went off to Historical Black University, Central State University, class of 2010.
Get it in.
And so after that, I just kind of came back home and got into the workforce and started building my resume and my career. So here I am today.
And it's important to mention that because there's some folks out there, there's some haters that might think that you're a paid actor, that this is fake news. You know,
I'll tell you how many is not fake news. And it's going to kind of go into how Jim Locke and the Cliff McClain's was born. And a contestant, and I'm sure that Mr. Dockery can talk about that, is when I got into this with the city, we recognized that we needed help. And when we started going to the bank, the people were bank ready and sometimes may not have been money ready. And so we just woke up one morning with my team and said, you know what? We're going to take this responsibility. We're going to marry the city. And we're going to finance it. So we've been talking about it for the last year that because we knew we had to do that. We knew that we had to do that for one reason. If you could tell them about the down payment, how difficult it is if you're a young family and you can't do what save how much money.
So here's what Phyllis is talking about, because when we came up with this concept, the primary objectives that I talked about were I want to create a situation where people can move from renting to owning, that we can transition our community from being majority renter occupied to homeowner occupied, so that we can begin to create generational wealth for people who are part of this community, part of the fiber of this community. And so what I was asking developers to do as part of developing in Muskegon Heights, and people looked at me like I had two heads. I said, I want you to be able to provide down payment assistance. I want you to provide connection to credit repair. And I wanted you to be willing to mentor first-time home buyers, new home buyers for up to 3 years. And so the developers looked at me like, oh, well, we're going to Muskegon, and Muskegon is not asking us to do anything. They're giving us stuff to do things. And I said, well, if we are truly serious about investing in our community, then there should be some developers that are willing to come to the table. And I know there's some favorite sons and daughters from Muskegon Heights that have gone on to be successful that can come back and develop in Muskegon Heights. I just had it in my gut that they exist, that they're out there. And Phyllis was the first person to step up and say, hey, we can make this happen. And we're willing to invest in Muskegon Heights. And so you went through the whole process of trying to get your down payment, right?
Yes, absolutely. And it's difficult. I don't want to discourage anyone, because it's not to say that, I guess, you're broke or you don't have any money. But, you know, you just don't have $20,000, $30,000 laying around for a down payment for new construction. Otherwise, you'll struggle after that. And so this program has been great. It's been real helpful. Again, I can't thank Troy and Phyllis enough, just kind of holding our hand through this process and showing us the way. And so, you know, the resource was there. It's available, and we took advantage of it.
Excellent. And so it wasn't. That was a piece of it, the down payment assistance. And
the other one was, you know, hometown. One of the visions for me was to find people that blessed me when I started. Jim Locke actually started when I was 14. And so I knew that not only did he have the ability and the money and the wisdom to walk me through things I did not know. So that's why he's home. Cliff McClain, I know Cliff for about 30, 40 years. Cliff believed in
me. Since you were what, 5 years old?
Oh my God, Cliff. I think we were like 20 something years old. Our first project together was actually Muskegon Airport. So I went to get the Cliffs, the primitive group, you know, locker room groups. Now Dave Duzendane is coming on board with us. I tried to, with the city, pull every, and Dad pulled some old time folks back. I forgot when I was a kid that they're coming on board. And it's so we can make sure that we can create old town people and moving to young people, and this is working. And so I thank the team for believing in us. And you gotta, to give money to things, you gotta believe in it.
Well,
so let's do it.
I'd like to pause here and bring Mr. Locke in, because some of our listeners may not know you, may not be familiar with you. I know that there are several folks from many different families that recognize the Locke name. So tell us a little bit about your background and who you are, Mr. Locke.
Be more than happy to. if you grew up in Muskegon Heights from 1938 to 1922, you should know some of us. It's a lot of us scattered. My family came to Muskegon Heights in 1938. My dad with his two uncles. And we've been here. Work history. I went to Heights, graduated from Heights when Heights was a Catholic school. 1966 was the last year Muskegon Heights was the Class A school, and I have many classmates that are still around here, and they're also scattered and all over the world, actually, from Panama to Southeast Asia to Europe, and a lot of those people are coming home, have come home. I sent out the word, and I asked the people that I grew up with to call the people that they know, say, hey, it's time to come home. Come and take a look. Some have been here. Not all have been happy, and more still in route.
Right.
In fact, tomorrow, a bunch of them will be here. But
beautiful.
Hey, worked for the state. Was on the city council for a few years. Worked for Michigan State University, Department of Commerce, the Liquor Control Commission, Department of Corrections.
Wow.
Marshal Service. Been there, done that. Now, my kids decided that they're willing to throw some money into the pot and try and help our city be where it should be, not where it is.
Beautiful. And when I came on board, and folks have heard me say it over and over again, there's so much potential and value in this community, and we just needed to get it started. And so I'm curious, from your perspective, with a long history here, and it's been a pleasure. I just met you recently, but it's been a pleasure every opportunity I've had to sit and chat with you and your background and the wealth of knowledge and history that you have. But from your perspective, coming from the community, coming back to the community, What is your thought about this whole concept of reaching new heights and the potential for us to be able to move our community in a positive direction as quickly and rapidly as possible, but still make sure that we take care of the fiber of our community, that we're not tearing that fiber apart with the stresses that usually come from gentrification?
Well, there's several steps. And the part that I took out and I shared with my friends and relatives and contact people was looked at your plans you guys put together. The 2015 Comprehensive Improvement Plan Final Edition, mm-hmm. that's what caught my attention in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Then I looked at the plan that you guys did for the Water Improvement Plan for 2015. Mm-hmm. Then I seen that there in 2018, the comprehensive plan was modified somewhat, mm-hmm. and it's now called the master plan.
Right.
Those, if the city of Muskegon Heights, government, employees, citizens, rally around, those are some good plans. You spent a lot of money to learn those plans. We built 40-something prisons in 21 years, and we learned something about that, okay? And a prison, all a prison is a mini city. And we built a lot of them in the state of Michigan. You've got people from here that have held every job there is in the state and federal government that would be willing to come home. They just need somebody to say, come on home.
Come on home. Right.
Come on home. We need you.
Mm-hmm. And the mayor and the council has been putting that beacon out there. And we were fortunate enough to partner with the state. They gave us a grant that I requested for $87,000 to be able to do a target market analysis that included a housing study and a retail study. And that housing study came back and said that we could build 175 new homes in Muskegon Heights a year, not overall, a year for the next 5 years, and not meet the demand for new homes in Muskegon Heights. And considering that we have over 1,000 vacant lots to work with, that we are ready to boom is what that study said. And so,
yeah, but one thing that we did, nobody's planned on was the inflation rate, and that's going to mess with the money.
Oh yeah,
time is of the essence.
Mm-hmm. Time is of the essence.
Mm-hmm. We need to get to moving.
Amen to that.
Some of the people we want to help out of the market.
Right. That's right. And unfortunately, I had hoped we'd get started in 2020 when we kicked off the plan, which would have put us well ahead of the curve of inflation. But we are here now, and every second is, like you said, a moment of essence and importance. So we are ready on the precipice to now make that move and accelerate from that point. And it's been some challenges, you know, like you said, the path to getting through the down payment, given the fact that we haven't built a new house here in several years, those processes need to be refreshed, need to be restructured, need to be confirmed, solidified. And we have gone through the process of doing that, both on the political side with the council processes, the internal staff processes, and also on the private side with investors, developers, and homeowners. And now we're ready to kick this off. And I think that's why it's important to that we have on the phone here now, Mr. Cliff McLean, who is going to be doing some of the construction building to make that happen. And Mr. McLean, can you tell us a refresh, because you've been on the show previously, but not everybody listens every week. Well, I think they probably do. I don't want to count them out. but just in case you might have missed one because of COVID or whatever, Mr. McLean, tell them about your background and in development and your relationship to the greater Muskegon, Grand Rapids area.
Well, I actually grew up in Grand Rapids. My parents still reside there in Hudsonville, Michigan. I used to come to Muskegon Heights as a youth, and I done a lot of construction. In fact, I did your airport, your new airport. back in, I think it was the 90s. I don't know the year anymore. But we actually did the work out there at the airport. We did the steel and the concrete on that project. Mm-hmm. I've been in the development and construction arena for actually all my life. I'm a third generation contractor.
Wow.
And first generation developer. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. And so what attracted you to this Reach a New Heights, the promise of a new heights concept here in Muskegon Heights?
I think that the opportunity to be able to create a platform for minorities to create generational wealth, and that's the biggest wealth turnover that one can give to their children. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great opportunity for that to happen. It's like a shot in the arm for our people, because I'm constantly seeing them pushed out to communities all over the country. We do work in other areas as well. We're doing a 2,800 home development in Chester, South Carolina.
Wow.
We're doing work in Greensboro. We're doing work in Winston-Salem and Charlotte, North Carolina. But I'm really excited about getting this project on the road, and hopefully people will enjoy it and they'll start receiving it or digest it the way it should be digested, and understanding is found among the community.
And I want to thank you and commend you for persevering in this process, because you were one of the original purchasers who proposed to purchase 100 vacant lots, and we whittled that down to 30 to start with as a nice chunk to begin with. And I know it was a difficult process. I mean, we brought it up probably 3 times before it was approved, because it's a big change for our community. To release 29 lots, because it was originally 30, but one of them fell off. 29 lots and one chunk is asking the community to take a big step and a big gamble, putting all those eggs into that one basket, so to speak. And I'm sure you've got communities that are begging you to come in and clamoring for you to come in and throwing everything at you to get you to come in. And here we are in Muskegon Heights, and we weren't at the time, because this is a change, ready to do that. And you're still willing to stand by us. You are still willing to hang in there. Disappointment, number 1, 2, and 3. But as I told you, hang in there. It'll happen. Just persevere. And you did. And here we are. So not everybody, you know, not every builder would have.
I'm hoping that I can change the narrative where we can start trusting one another again. Mm-hmm. If we see positive images of what we can do.
All right.
And hopefully that's what occurred during the process of us doing these homes.
Exactly. And the proof is in the pudding. And I know our community has been hearing promises for the last 10, 15, maybe 20 years, promises of change and opportunity. And so it is not unexpected that anybody would become desensitized to the promise of a new future if you don't see the evidence of it.
Well, in defense of that, I think people have promised, but the community have to understand, they have to help that promise to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what we've done is with Clifton, we'd be remiss if we would talk about our other group, who's a veteran group as well. And that's the Muskegon Heights Investment Group. And they are out in Indiana. And so they're on board too. So when you talk about investments and the Cliffs and the Hercos and the Gem Locks, a community like ours have to understand that Charity Stars at Home are spread abroad. We're home.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to spread abroad to you. Now, once we've proven to you what we can, we're going to come back with other leaders to say, hey, how do we make this work? I hear all the time, like, well, Muskegon is different. Why are you going over there when you can have it over there? Well, this is home. If we show you that we can do this, that we want you to believe in us, and we want you to jump in on, with us and help us to make this just like Muskegon. So that's probably the reason why sometimes when you have missed opportunities, if you don't have the wherewithal and the intuitiveness and the relationships, they couldn't do it by themselves. So for those people that started, it could not finish. Hats off to them. If you don't have a team, because I couldn't have done it without a Cliff McLean or a Jim Locke or the other people. There's no way I could have done that by myself.
Well, please forgive me for having the audacity to say, I don't want to be just like Muskegon. I want to
be better.
Exactly.
We are.
Right.
And I think when I say better, we're homegrown. I put together an excellent team of natives that have lived here. Do you remember when it was great when you were a youngin? You know, and people like that can say, you know, we can do this, and we failed you in so many ways, but we're making it up to you now. And what I'd like for you to do as a young person is to do the same thing. Go get one and go get one and go get one.
Right. Spread the word.
And then when you do that, don't worry about your down payment. We got you covered. Just make sure when I said go get cabinets, I think Jim made it really clear about change orders. Just stick to the plan. If we stick to the plan with Cliff and the other people, we're going to have a hell of a city. And it's not going to take that long to do it. And thank you, Troy, and the vision with you as a manager and the city and our city, other city leaders that was willing to give us an opportunity. So right. We will be unveiling this on the 8th, which is next Monday.
Beautiful.
We're hoping that the city will come out.
Everybody heard that.
Next Monday, unveiling. Mm-hmm. And we're dressing her up. And, you know, we've already started clearing land, Cliff, and we're doing that. And we're just ready. We're eager. And we're so, I know when I say I'm humbled, I am gratefully humbled what God has done.
Amen to that.
And what he's going to continue to do.
Now you talk about vision, and the vision that I got when the Lord led me to come here was of something better, you know, a vision of being able to build on the successes of the past and create something that's provides the quality of life and health and wellness that communities like ours deserve but seldom achieve. And so it's all about that vision, that broad vision that we can raise the bar and elevate the modicum of excellence for our community.
So you came here in 20, talk about God and his vision. Mm-hmm. In 2016, I came before the council with the same vision. Mm-hmm. It wasn't time yet. you know, I remember the question I asked, and someone said, what was it in it for me? Mm-hmm. And the only thing I can remember was for me was to create a city that I could see in my mind. I needed us to. So here you are now. You came together and you had a vision. I called Cliff one day, said, hey, can you come to my city? Mm-hmm. Cliff flies in. He looks at not only Muskegon and Muskegon Heights. He called me Phil. He said, Phil, let's do it. You know, and it just took that. Then I called Dad. Right. So, yeah, it does take time. Mm-hmm. Maybe it doesn't mean that people was right or wrong. It just means that God timing and man timing is not the same. And so I thank God for in 2016, when it didn't feel good, that in 20 and 21, I had grown up and it felt better. And now it feels, as Opal said, gooder.
Gooder.
Because I can see now the vision that we will. And Dad has been here. I called Jim, my dad. And he has given me so much wisdom. I see him and I hear him on the phone. He's calling all his old school cats mm-hmm. that was here when I was growing up.
Right.
And they will be here tomorrow.
Now is the time. The time. And thank you for your patience. You know, 2016 to 2020, that's a long time to have that patience to wait on the Lord to make your vision a reality. And speaking of vision, I wanted to ask Mr. Locke, you know, what is your vision for the city of Muskegon Heights in 5 years, 10 years? How would you describe that as your vision?
I would like to see Muskegon Heights as it was when I grew up. When I was these young people age, when I was in grade school, when I was in junior high, when I was in high school, mm-hmm. when I went to Vietnam, when I came back from Vietnam.
Right.
This city had something to offer its residents. Mm-hmm. You did not have to leave Muskegon Heights to get a job. Now, a lot of people did leave because they got better jobs. But there was jobs. In 1970, you could make $12.15 an hour. In this town, people don't make that now. That I want to see my town back.
There you go. And as Ms. Laudermill was saying, the fact that you're picking up the phone and making those phone calls, I'm sure with the relationships that you have, that people have confidence when you say it's time to come back. It's time to invest back in our city, our community, to bring it back and to bring it back better and greater than it was before. And so I appreciate you for your confidence in what we're about to do and the confidence in the opportunity and the potential of our community to bring it back. And what I think is beautiful about this is that all these pieces come from people who are connected to the community. And so when we talk about those communities out there like Miami and LA and even Harlem that have gone through a renaissance, that renaissance has typically been based on people from outside the community that are disconnected to the community, realizing the value and taking advantage of it. And so oftentimes that stresses and tears at the fiber. You hear me talk about the fiber of the community. That stresses or tears at the fiber of the community. What we want to make sure, and that's not to say that people from outside are not welcome. We just want to make sure that the people that bled, sweat, and shed tears are part of the prosperity that is coming to this community.
And you know, it's really great. I'm thinking something when you're talking. Mm-hmm. You know, when Reverend Witcher brought me here, and this young man, I remember his mom got pregnant with him. And it just reminded me. But when you look at the board that's going to be unveiled, the Javon Roars, who is Bruin Investment, Terry McDaniel, who is retired from Steelcase. It just goes on and on. People that lived here, there is on that board. Right. That's part of development, you know, that's going to be working here. That it's amazing how just pulling us together, what we've done for this. And so it was, you're right. It's not like the outsiders were not welcome, but the plane and everything was set for leaders here to define what we want to look like. Then once we did that, then we move on with our neighbors and our friends. And our neighbor and friends have joined in with us.
Right.
You know, like Dave Duzestein, he's done an excellent job, but we're going to spin off on things he can do as far as buying supplies, you know, things that maybe we didn't know. Our friends, like today, I was out. I look really pretty today, don't I? I got my cap on. I was out looking at landscaping. You know, my son Ryan Watson Construction, who started with us the first time, Ryan's in landscaping. He's young. Ryan's 36 years old. So we are doing just what Cliff said, regenerating, but making sure we do generational wealth. That's the key right there, is keeping that money going.
Right.
Over and over again. And I can see that we're going to do that. And building our value in our houses. That was the biggest thing, a delay, was when I was trying to get the value. It was so hard just pulling it because we had not built a house so long.
Right.
And then somebody bought a house for $100,000, a house that the whole world opened up for now for building. And it was Miss Johnson's house. The developer came in and bought it.
Right.
From that day on, for me to prove that the houses was worthy, I was struggling with it, right?
Right.
All of a sudden, the Lord sent this wonderful person, says, I'm going to buy this house on Madison Street.
Right.
Not a brand new house.
Right.
And paid $100,000. So what goes when he says for good, for your good, that was for our good.
Right.
Then everything else opened off because of that one developer. Don't know him. But I want to say thank you,
Bobby Sisk,
your Bobby, for buying that house for that amount of money, because then the door opened for us. So when people say, what took so long? It wasn't us at all. It was what hand was dealt to me.
Right.
You know,
and a lot of the pushback that I got originally about asking for credit repair, down payment assistance and mentorship was that you're asking for something. We need to be giving something. But what I realize is by asking that, the people that come to the table are people that are interested in investing, not just making a profit, but investing in the community. So that was a great filter. You know, if you can't bring these three things, if you're not interested in these three things, then maybe you're not really interested in this community. Maybe you're interested in taking whatever you can get and carrying it away and burying it someplace else. we are looking for folks that are interested in investing in this community, making a little money in the process, but investing in this community. And that's the difference. That's how you have a renaissance, that where the prosperity is shared in the community as opposed to carried off to other communities.
I agree.
Yep. And I want to stop for a second and thank Ms. Vines for saying hello. I don't know if you saw it there, Mr. Locke, but Ms. Linda Vines says, hello, Jim Locke.
Oh, good to see you. Hi, I miss her.
All right. I hope she heard you. And then Mr. McKinney, thank you for your comment saying stay the course and the city will grow. So appreciate people sharing the comments during the course of the show. So thank you. I think Mr. Porter says here about Renaissance was cryptocurrency, something to that effect. I'm not sure exactly where he was going with that, but Andrew. Okay. Recognize Andrew. Andrew's one of the folks that was part of the giveaway of dirt and plants and flowers. So he pulled that together with his resources. So always happy to welcome you to the show, Andrew. So we are in the home stretch of this. So I just want to reiterate to the community, we're talking about unveiling the new sign on August 8th.
Yes.
At the council
Please
meeting.
Join us at council meeting.
Okay.
And then I want to thank you again because something that you did that we asked of you that was very brilliant for us to ask, but very kind of you and the council to say yes. We asked that the plan would be the same. We ask that you would always follow, we will follow your lead in what you wanted for the city, mm-hmm. but you will always remember that we were the leaders in that effort, mm-hmm. because once you set a fire to something that's mm-hmm. great, everybody wants to join in.
Right.
And I appreciate you protecting us in that way, that whoever came would do as we would do. That is Absolutely. The most wonderful ask that I could say to you, mm-hmm. Because my partners in that came said, well, what do you do? How do we protect this? We right. protect this by you protecting us. Well, and I thank you for that.
It's not always easy, but it's the right thing to do. And as evidence, I believe the land bank has come along
yes.
and has picked up the terms and agreement for the lots and properties that they release, that they follow suit with the plan that we've put in place, which is the engine for development and economic development in our community. These things that you're doing and bringing development to our community with these new houses is lockstep connected to what we're trying to do with the grants that we receive for downtown, that $250,000. I always want to say DTE, but it's Consumers Energy Grant, which we appreciate, courtesy of the GMED, Greater Muskegon Economic Development, to help us put that grant together. But that $250,000 is designed to make our Rowan Park, the crown jewel downtown, a destination park with a splash pad and public art contribution of a sculpture, the Band Together sculpture, which is a memorial of the connection between the history that you know of with the Heights Tigers and the band and the success of the band. What we are receiving a donation is a bronze sculpture of a drum major, a Muskegon Heights drum major in full step, high step.
Yes.
And that installation is called Band Together because it represents the value of coming together around a common vision and objective for the prosperity of our community. And that with the splash pad is what we are using as a catalyst to bring Rowan Park as a destination park in our downtown area.
So can Dad talk just quickly about mm-hmm. Last week, my other partners out of Detroit
sure.
and Birmingham came in with Dad. And I want Dan to talk about what they talked about the downtown. Mm-hmm. And we will be asking that on Monday
okay.
about partnering with downtown so that we can make it look like our houses.
Yes.
So, Dad, can you kind of expand on that a little bit? And about the guy with Iman that was here, about what they saw in downtown and some of the ask.
Mm-hmm. They and I know I asked for a lot. So.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. They saw an opportunity. And they want to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. They look back at some old photos and they look at the stature of the buildings and architectural features in those buildings. And they know that from their knowledge that back in 1895, when Mr. Hackley and Mr. Hume and all those people put together the money to make Muskegon Heights so that they could save the county of Muskegon, all of those things came into being. In 1935, when Muskegon Heights received all those funds from the Depression to build, expand the water lines and the fire hydrants and all those things, Muskegon has some stature. It has been neglected, so we say. But to put money in with a plan, they used to tell us when I was in college, he who fails the plan plans to fail. It's to fail. If you don't have a plan to get there, how are you going to get there? And these guys are willing to come in here and work with us to help us make this city great again. But we have to get off our lazies and do what we need to do to make this happen. No kid in Muskegon Heights should ever not have something they can be doing that's positive. That was not allowed when I was a kid.
All right. And we are seeking additional
recreation plan you got. We need to get that stuff going.
Perfect. And we are seeking additional grant funds. We've got a team grant folks that are out there working on trying to get grant funding for our Broadway street. We have an $8 million ask in with Senator Bumstead to help us repave Broadway from Glade to Getty. And with that is a whole new streetscape, as well as some incentives for facade improvements. So that goes lockstep and barrel with what we're talking about.
And we cannot leave Senator out. The partners that come in for Detroit, and we're looking at the facelift, mm-hmm. and we've talked about refacing the the stores so they can look when people come in. Senator is definitely in that part of that group. Mm-hmm. And the last thing that Iman in that group was when we're here with us.
To make the city look like a unit rather than a bunch of individuals. But make it
right.
look like a cohesive unit.
Cohesive. That's it.
And their last words with Senator Bumstead and some of the other folk that are investing in this is that in no way, it's kind of like what the laborers did when I went to Detroit in 2009, mm-hmm. said that no way you would fail. We was at one of the stores here in Muskegon. Actually, we went in and they were speaking to Miss Diane Wilson, and they said that in no way we were sent mm-hmm. that she and this team would fail. They didn't say any amount of money that we had to ask for. They just said, just do like Dad said, have a plan and make sure the plan works and have a community that they want to work with us with the plan. Because one of the things they made very clear, if we give you a million, you got to at least give us something. You know, we talked about planners. Right. And I said, we'll do the planners, but mm-hmm. we want you to have some involvement. And that's so that you can have an investment in it. They don't want to come and redo this community and we have no involvement in it.
Right.
They want to have
about the flower pots, right?
We talk about anything from mm-hmm. the houses down to the flooring, right. down to refacing the buildings. Mm-hmm. They're saying, Phyllis, we'll do that. But we want them to partner with us too. Either that, and I can say, Iman, if I come and we do everything, then it's not their city. It becomes your city and my city. That's not what we want. Mm-hmm. It's like what Dad said. We want this ownership. To be all our city.
Everybody needs to take right. ownership. This is our
That's city. Right. And we can't forget
the something in to get something out. You can't just draw money out of the bank and never put anything in and expect your checks not to bounce.
We have to pull together the six major silos of every community, and that's the education system, that's the local government, that's health and wellness, that's the business community, that's the spiritual community, as well as the housing community. Those are the six major silos that divide a city, and if they're not
working, that's correct.
Comprehensively, then you're not going to be able to succeed. And so that's what we, like you said, comprehensively, cohesively coming together behind a common vision, because all of us need to rise in order for all ships to elevate. So I do want to ask.
Right. We may not agree on everything, but we got a degree on a plan.
Right. Yep. Now, you talked about one house. You talked about Mr. Dockery's house. What are the other sites that you're going to be developing?
We have two of them on Mann Street mm-hmm. And Cliff. And we do have a one that we're renovating mm-hmm. on Howland. And then we have two, which is going to be right here. We have one on the corner of Hackley, and we have two that's coming on Fifth Street. Mm-hmm. And so the other developers who are not on the line, mm-hmm. remissly so, but so we look at six of them. Mm-hmm. So now we're working on getting the slabs so we can get started so okay. that they can work within the winter.
So you're going to have a picture or a portrait so that people can see what or dream about what it might
Most
look
definitely.
Like?
Okay. Yes, all we right. are.
Because, you know, a picture's worth a thousand words.
It is, and there's three versions. So the one thing about understanding about a picture is mm-hmm. it is what it is. And we talked about making sure that we stay within the cost because my cost is so that we can build it what's affordable. Mm-hmm. One of the things that...
Attainable
and affordable. Mm-hmm. This family, the young family, Dockery's, they started out with one vision and we ended up together with another one. Mm-hmm. It's because you don't want to be house poor. You have three children, lovely children. Well, you know, so they want to be together. And I think the other families would kind of fall suit of that. We have some educators have been asking. Mm-hmm. The mayor sent me another young lady. So I think that the council people, they're getting it mm-hmm. where we are. I spoke to one of your council person the other day with you. Mm-hmm. And I think he wanted to understand what was taking so long. Mm-hmm. And I think we did a good job of explaining it. Right. I hope so. But I think even there, Dad talked about having awesome. A retreat mm-hmm. that we bring everybody together with the council. And I think after the group leaves this weekend, we will be asking you to come together so we can better educate them. Mm-hmm. So when there's an ask that we can work together, they'll know why. I said you will be getting that. It won't be just us asking you. We're going to show you. And hopefully by that time, they will look at that vision and then follow us.
So I'm going to take a risk here and ask you, how long do you think it'll take to complete the first house?
Cliff? Is he gone?
No, I think
it depends on it actually depends on material delivery.
Okay.
It's all about getting material delivered. It usually take about 45 to 60 days. Mm-hmm. Under normal circumstances.
Okay.
But that
So that potentially,
could change based on that. So,
we're talking about 90.
I like to do it in 30 days.
Yeah. My schedule is 90 to 120.
90 to 120 days. Okay.
And we also looked at the trades mm-hmm. so we can do the earn and learn
right.
apprenticeship. So we're looking at that. Mm-hmm. We also looked at the kids, and it's amazing. We worked with children last summer just cleaning up. Mm-hmm. And thank you for helping us with that. So we're going to make sure we can at least bring in, hopefully, the work with the school to their seniors mm-hmm. so that in the next year they will look at the union as an option if they choose to versus school. Mm-hmm. So the union, which is Mike Aarons, have been working with us very closely with this. So that we can hopefully get training dollars to train them, which would sometimes cut the cost, especially when contractors don't want to work with people that don't know of the trades.
Understood. So we've got those 4 to 6 houses and 120 day range on that. And then is the objective to start on another set when those are completed?
After the first phase is to come back. And so we're going to actually start just advertising about housing. So the Loudermill Group with Keller Williams, they are a real estate group, and we're going to do a launch on how to create. So these families, we're asking them, go one, get one.
So if somebody's interested in getting in line, I know we took some names and numbers before to be considered for purchasing. How do they reach you? How do they get in contact with you?
616-828-6750.
Okay. 616-828-6750. Beautiful.
If you can't find me, you can find me at the hotel. Mm-hmm. There's a list there where the hotel is taken for people that want to purchase a home. So they can put their name on there and the number, and we would definitely contact them again. So it's called Lost Landing on Mona Lake. They mm-hmm. just go there, and there is a board, and they say, I want a house. And some of them can't mm-hmm. be new homes. We're going to renovate some old ones. Mm-hmm. I want a house.
Different price points.
Yes. Right. So go there, leave your name and an email and a phone number, and we would definitely follow up with you with the application.
Okay.
And then Flagstar will qualify you, like we did this gentleman and his family, for us as developers to know what we have to do when we build for you. So, for instance, you may not be house ready, but if you can show me that in 6 months I'm going to do credit, I still will build your house. But you have to stick to the plan.
Right.
So if you are a Section 8 person, we're going to build for those people as well, but they're owning their homes and not just renting, because I do not want renters. So it's 80-20. Section 8 pays that part and they pay the other.
65.
Beautiful. All right, looking forward to it. So we've got just a minute left, and I want to remind everybody as we wrap this up that the demolition is about to start on Peck and Sherman, another project that is right on the horizon, so look out for that. Also, we have some great plans in store for Mona Lake Park, and we're working on that, getting that facility up and running down there at the park. We had somebody from the state come in from Michigan Economic Development Commission that said that this is a jewel and they want to be part of the renaissance and the renovation of that facility. So that was excellent news that they saw the potential and value that we already know is there, and they're willing to put their money where their mouth is. So great things coming down the pipe on that. Also, I want to quickly let everybody know you need to go out to our website, MuskegonHeights.us/ARPA, A-R-P-A. Fill out the survey. Please fill out the survey. We need feedback from the community so that that could be part of the decision process that the council makes. Your survey will be collected and tallied and presented at a meeting of the ARPA focus group, and then presented to the council. So be part of that conversation by filling out. You can come go into the link and filling that out. You can come to Muskegon Heights. If you can't get online, there's paper copies at City Hall, and you can fill out the survey there and drop it off. So please remember to fill out the survey. We need to get 500 completed, so please do that. And finally, remember, Monday coming up, we have a council meeting. There'll be a proclamation for the National Health Center Week, which starts next week at Muskegon Family Care. So don't miss that. There'll be confirmation of the finance from the Finance Committee of the approval of the clerk's salary. A conversation will occur regarding the first right of refusal on foreclosed property. So that's coming down the pipe, an opportunity to bid on the foreclosed properties, and you'll soon see that coming out with a deadline of August 22 to get all the bids back, so be ready for that. And there's a recommendation by the Building and Lands Committee for the sale of two properties. That's on the agenda. And finally, the discussion about the award of the Leahy Street paving project is on the agenda. So I know we went a little long today. Thank you for hanging in there with us. So much of a thanks to our guest today, Mr. Locke, Mr. Dockery, Ms. Laudermill again, and on the line, Mr. McLean. Thank you so much for joining us and being part of this conversation with our community. Again, the commitment, dedication, and investment in our community, we cannot thank you enough. I can't thank you enough on behalf of council and the mayor. So again, you have tuned in to Reaching New Heights with Troy Bell, the city manager, City of Muskegon Heights, where you get to know what you need to know, so you'll be in the know, courtesy of the mayor and the council. Continue to be blessed and have a great day.
Thank you.